Jim Smith, the Real Ten, and we left it at Helmond with this civilian cooking meatballs, Jim, wasn't it?
Well, he wasn't actually cooking meatballs, but what he was doing, he said he would prepare the meatballs for us to cook the day after. And I said to Sergeant quietly, outside where we had gone, more or less in the orchard, I said, "Where do you want to come?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "No, panicking now." He said, "No." I said, "You don't think he's to clean? He's clothing. Everything about him are right, see? Everybody else is predictable. And there's a war on. And he, you know." And it's a bit explaining what we were told when we got over in France after D-Day, of course. If you see anybody bummed up, he hadn't been doing so much, had he? Now, as yourself.
Seems to make sense, yeah.
Did I, you know, I mean, and it's got enough story for a minute. Just a little incident that we didn't mention, but the one particular place. There are some German horse wagon. There's only one horse to lead the wagon. Now, me being the horses before war, more or less all my life, we're a bit fascinated with this horse. It distanced, although we knew we were going to have to shoot it, drop it or something. But it weren't actually the horse walking and going round the trees. What horse can steer a wagon round trees in the wood? That didn't hit anybody else. And I said to the lads, "Oh, there's somebody driving that. You must be joking." I said, "Look at it. It was going around trees, touching nothing." Such a long story short, they dropped the lot. And when they got there, there were a German officer sat behind the spandrel on the cover.
Oh, right. What, driving the whole Sunday?
Oh, they were driving the shell out, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not to himself. You see, the range were trying to just...
Just touch him.
And nobody ever taking notice, really, so much. So that's, we just having a little bit of our experience.
Yeah, and you're now suspicious of this chap here because of his...
A bit dubious about myself. Yeah. Although, as I say, I'm only a driver, no, you know, no way, authority, nothing for that. Anyway, he came at night, and this little sergeant said, "You can stop it, billet tonight," besides what we more or less got to. He said, "We'll float for this without fear, we won't." I said, "Oh, I'm coming with you." He said, "No need to." I said, "I'm going." As much as I didn't like being in the field, I thought, "I'm not stopping here with this fella." No way. Night passes, he comes back up to the billet. He'd gone.
He'd gone, disappeared.
He'd gone.
Disappeared. So he may have been a German.
Well, now I know he was a German. I know now. By reading the book, just your book after.
Yeah.
The clock here, there and everywhere.
In Helmond, yeah. I think it does say in the battalion book that they were around there.
Did you read that?
Yeah. It says in there they were around.
So, you know, I'm not romancing, you see. That's... And there's also a section captured at Helmond there. Section about that.
So,
anyway...
So then what happened, Jim? Well, then what happened after that?
Well, it was just... He just gone, hadn't he? So, Sergeant said... He said, "No, it's obvious." He wouldn't want you to know what direction anyway. I said, "Where was his bank? Where were his cattle to go?" He said, "He took it. German took it." Anyway, that's... And the lad started, "Put their meatballs." I said, "Don't give me no meatballs, pal." I said, "If you want to take them, get stuck in them. I'll have my own mechanics."
Yeah.
No. And some of them, And as soon as I made it, it was all right.
Yeah.
Oh. And that lad did a good job. But I never knew, honest, I never knew that he was a German. But I bet he was.
Yeah.
Because in the book it said, and I think it's as you said, he must have been. Can't see him now.
How long were you around that place, Jim? Any ideas?
Not so long. No, we set off for an Alman for Dan Bosch, didn't we?
Well, this particular time in the story, there was coming up a battle in the forest at Reichwald.
At the Reichwald. Did we go into Den Bosch after Reichwald?
No, you went into Den Bosch about 4 months before the Reichwald.
Right, well, when we came from Elmont, we went into Den Bosch.
Yeah, you'd been in Helmond before, but at this particular time, it was February, yeah. And in February, you were soon to be going into the forest at the Reichwald.
Forest. I was sent out from our HQ to take a vehicle over where another driver had been, another driver had been injured or hurt or something or another. But we went into Reichwald Forest to clear the building and got
No. You after the Reichwald Forest, you went through those places. Yeah, but those places were after the Reichwald.
Right. Just but I know they were in that too.
Just think about that battle in the Reichwald Forest, yeah. And what was happening.
Well, when we approached the Reichwald Forest, I was detailed to take a carrier, Colonel Lloyd, with CQMS, Quartermaster Sergeant, and make sure, because of the mud, and make sure that all the rations were still cooked to the lads in the front line, what was actually into the Reichwald Forest, such as Bob's Company, A Company, and them all dug in.
Yeah.
And a particular incident used to happen there, which didn't happen very often, but occasionally it did. When the lads got advancing at Reichwald Forest, and they took their objective, what they had to take their objective, the colonel ordered them back 3 miles, or 2 miles, for the simple reason the Germans had left their markers. They knew if they were shoved out, they just knew how far they'd retreated back to. So therefore, they had the range for their artillery.
Yes.
You see? Mm. Which, when you think about it, is it's crafty. But we were crafty and done. We pulled back for a couple of miles. Obviously, they said the heavens opened up. Artillery, shells, everything. Thinking like they're giving right, haven't they? But when we went to a stand to that morning and it came light and they were having it, they were surprised, so they had to go further back. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
The biggest shock I ever had at Reichwald Forest, I took this rum ration, to take the rum ration up, which obviously CQMS had to be with you. And nobody else issued a rum ration, only officer at Quartermaster's office. So he said, well, go take this rum ration up to the lads. I'm not kidding, mud were up to the boats. Shocking. Mud. The thing is, you see, it's forest. It's a forest, right? Wood forest. Only like wood trails where they got wood out, that's all they were. Makeshift roads.
I think they were called rides, Jim, those trails.
Well, they were going rides. Yeah. They were rides in the forest, that's all. They weren't actually roads.
Mm.
So you can imagine, after all these vehicles, tanks, whatever, being moved, what they were like. And even, of course, the first day, we were going in tracks of it. Big time. Easy. Anyway, He said, well, I'll take that one national to what company I don't know. Come on. So I got in. There are another place where I got very little sleep, so we come out. I went up. He went that time, and I was creeping to Little Foxwoods. You're all right, and he said, Jeffrey, damn it. We're not coming out, we've just got it. Couldn't understand. He could understand. They dug in, they got out of the wet, and they got to the pillar. And I think that one section had it, I think that's quite on.
Had what?
The run ration.
Yes.
Just that one section.
Yeah.
Nobody come out for it. They were fed up, they were wet through. That was it. They got dug in and stuff in here. So they'd have to creep out anyway. You know, they couldn't start standing up. But you had to walk about. Anyway.
Were you walking around with the rum ration?
I'll tell you, there's nobody can issue a rum ration, only a CQMS or an officer.
So you were sat in your car in the Lloyd?
No. CQMS said, I'll go to this section, tell them the rum ration.
I see.
Rum ration's
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
If they want it.
Yeah.
So they'd come out and obviously be off, which I didn't blame them. Ate this one or two. But it's not like talking like me and you are now. You're like whispering all the time.
Yeah. So was this night time then, Jim?
Oh, yeah. I should say that to them. I said, what are we doing now? Well, listen, I have to get back home. He said, first of all, what we're doing. He says, we're not robbing. We're having a right bang at this room. So that's all right, and I'm having a bang with you. So he had it all. And probably it really burns you. Have you ever had it, Pop?
No.
It really burns you. Oh, I'll fire your head off that. But it also sends you, whoops, you know. But anyway, and I thought you could do it, but not. I said, well, I have to drive, not be stupid. I had a mouthful or two. You don't want the. I don't think you'd drink that.
Well, there's a cup full.
I don't think you'd drink that.
No.
No. I think a bloke could be very lucky if you got half a cup. Proper cup. Because the measure they gave you were, what would you say, half circumference of that, do you know what I mean?
Like a tablespoon?
Then?
Tablespoonful?
No, it was a measure, proper.
Like a small, very small.
Very small measure. Glass. I just forget what they call it, they have a name for it.
A Jill?
No, it's something they call it, army.
I don't know, but like a bar measure?
Something like a noggin, as they call it,
okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Not much, but that is the official rum job. We're talking too much about the rum, but anyway, we've gone, sets off back. I looked at Sergeant CQMS, one about 2 miles. Two, 3 miles back. And all of a sudden, I come to a full stop. Because all as I could see around Cardinal Lloyd, diamond plated, were German helmets. I don't know how many, dark, but to me, I thought, all the German army were facing me, you know. And talk about a shock. I couldn't get from my rifle, they're up front here. I was like paralysed, like I couldn't move.
How far away were they, Jim?
To around carrier.
Around your carrier?
Like, looking at us. I'm just there like somebody been stuck dumb. And it were only a matter, it must have been only a matter of minutes. Before the bloke shouted, I'm up right road for it to HQ with these prisoners. Oh, didn't need no paper, Bob.
Yeah. But you were relieved, weren't you?
Relieved?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. I said, just open them up. I said, just follow these tank tracks. to. I said, you see, with it raining, they had such a thing as artificial lighting, which were the searchlights, English searchlights, and they fired them over the top of you, and you'd be amazed how much lighter it was.
Yeah.
And then, being over, lit the ground floor, you see.
Yeah.
I said, so, follow the road where it's all swimming, I said, and but he did do. No, about half an hour after he went walking past. So, Sergeant Major, he was flat out. He was snoring his head off. He'd had enough.
Didn't he say any of this?
He never, no.
Any of this?
Not a thing. I'm going to tell you, didn't he? Day after, so. But a bit of a laugh before the day after. When we got back to HQ, which right, well, there were all little dugouts all over. I think Bob will have told you.
Yeah.
And we got out where a medical centre was. This is where the German fired, whether he meant it genuinely or meant to get his own back, just see what you think. I went and see him myself. I said, come over here. You know. He gets out and he's walking. He says, my feet's covered. I looked down. He'd stood out of his Wellington, hadn't he? Really perfect. I said, the woman at the counter said, you've left your life. So you can tell how we were.
He was stuck. His feet were, his Wellington boots were stuck in the mud.
Oh, but he'd had that much of this.
Yeah.
Rum ration. Yeah. He didn't know where they were. And then he's asked to put it right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sat into proper MI room, what you might say MI room, it was a dugout. As Bob has already told you, there were dugouts for MI, for medical, for officers, and full lit floor at Wrightswell Forest.
Mm.
And Wrightswell Forest were really the Seafreed's land. You didn't know that.
Yep.
And that's why it were all fortified.
Mm.
Anyway, you know the old song, we're going to hang out the washing on the sea fridge, right? Well, mm-hmm. That's where it was,
yeah.
Right, well.
Yeah.
And we're in this medical bunk. And I sat lost in Grover, I said, my Sergeant Grover. He said, what do I put there as you asked? He said, fetch anyone do you back? I said, no, not this, sir. Was it to fetch him back? But pray. There's going on story for a second. Prior to that job, I had to make sure that all ambulances got this bit of a rough ride, what you call them. And Paddy came to me and says, how long have you been on here? I said, 2 days. I said, I think it's 2 days. I said, everything's got through. He said, I know that. He said, because I've checked on it and I've been here all the time. He said, you've done a great job. But through a big mouth, me, he took me name and over my rank and everything. Now, I'm thinking, I were broke down for the MN, really, in my mind. But nobody ever said it.
Mm.
But through me opening my mouth, I just said to him, I think Major Whiteside's over there somewhere. Now he were our officer.
Mm.
What happened? Major Whiteside, MN.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Deep into the transport rolling. 64 did that, not legally. But anyway, we're sat into this MI room with Sergeant Grover and that. And I don't know where somebody come and say, go back up to the front. They've had a bit of a stonky, that's shells dropping. They send the sun to come down. So went up. We kind of lied up. And a lad called, a big lad called Roach for Burnley. He'd been it, but he'd been in it, it it's in his hand, more or less. He'd lost about three fingers or four. And he was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Come on, someone to get me back. And it cleared. That it distance. Oh, yeah. So officer with her, which you call Connolly, he comes from Bolton. He'd only met us at latter end of the squad away. As I say, through driving officers, I knew most of them. I went up to Connolly. I said, who's that? He said, it's Tommy Pomfret. I think he's Tommy Pomfret. My book's there, do I? Come to school with me, Blackburn. Blackburn lad. Up at King Street here. Married a girl in her sleep. Facey. I said, you mean Tommy Pomfret? Tommy Pomfret told them. He said, aye. I said, Carriers. He said, we can't get at him. So I said, I'm gone. I said, I'm not taking him back with three fingers. I said, if he's serious. I said, because I'll be waiting hour. I said, Tommy's going out. And I've never seen this officer or a man then, never before or never after. He's had a zapple, we're going up and down, like a yo-yo. They were frightened to death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I said, well, let's get him out then. We're in a big fella, so come to him later on. And I'm not going up there, not risking my money. I said, the lads are signing on him. I said, let's get him out. But to a long story short, between one and another, not me, one and another, they gradually got him as you could do something about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No such a thing, you say, put him on the stretcher. It mattered again, him out, whether you dragged him through mud or what, because he had no option. So we eventually get him out between us. And I put him on a carrier, took him back. Here.
Top of his leg.
Shell had hit him here.
Groin.
Well, or they were mud up top. But he was sent further back. Then, obvious, very serious, like English soldiers, not the Jerrys, but Tommy were, not here, well, which were just a bit further down the road, proper.
Yeah.
And talking over that, when he came to, and of course he told his wife, as I fetched him out, to Jimmy saved my life, which, you know, I suppose for me fetching him down, he told them. But oh, they went mad in there, so oh, down, and oh, Jimmy, this time for him. But it weren't just me, it were a combination of lads and all.
Yeah.
And they'd done it yourself. But anyway,
he survived it then.
Oh, aye.
Yeah.
He finished up working. He just goes down, just this last month. Waste Street Engineering. Just goes down this last month.
Is he still alive?
No.
Excuse me.
Must be more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Or 20. But when you're working, it's good to room work, take
engines. Yep.
And anyway, we're sat in this bugger. Now, this is where, form your own opinion. Just weigh it off what I'm saying. And tell me after. If you think that German were doing me a good turn, they were really making sure that I were dropped if I look at you. So now, get the tea out, the others buy hot sweet tea for the shell chocolate, and others that, and drink the tea, get his sergeant major, prisoner of course, and he said the lad on the stretcher in front of us were his son. which I'd like, weren't it?
You've got a father and son?
Father and son.
Both Germans?
Yeah.
Both injured?
No, I don't think his dad, if it's true, says it was his dad. He said it was. I don't think he was much injured, but his lad ran the stretcher bus. Yeah. I didn't know how much.
Yeah.
So his lad pulls the mic, more or less, whatever I don't fancy for. I looked down and he said, "Welcome. Cigarette." I said, "Aye." "Get cigarette, lit it for it." And then a couple of minutes later, he looked down and it was just smoking. We did. So, of course, obviously, thank you, my dad. They were very upset with this under officer, Sergeant Major in German Army. That's under officer. And he could talk a bit of English in that. He weren't a young fella. And to me, like, he were a grandfather. But I'm asking your opinion after. But he also looked after fella. He says to me, "You look to my son, you look good. We looked after my son." In other words, we looked after him proper. British soldier, a good soldier, like a German soldier. Well, that's right. A proper German soldier. A proper British soldier, trained. The good soldiers, don't get me wrong. They do war according to what they should be. Russians and that, I don't like to say. But they turn the place here than anybody. Because they never did quite right. Well, they'd be right saying that.
Yeah, sounds okay.
Right. Now then, he says here, they took his ring off. And he'd had no Egan. Off. Square. That were like a brass. Then he'd had like a kind of a brass.
Yeah, with silver floor. On it, weren't it? With silver on it, weren't it?
Like enamel?
No, it was like brass. And it looks like it had pretty small. 1940. Well, that's when they were in Norway.
Yeah.
And they blew the air water. We blew the air water up and then they thundered out. And at top of that, in the middle, and Norway got one side, 1940 cover. Well, they were in. That's an inch of my clover. He'd had the German swastika over at Union Jack.
Have you still got it?
No.
I had it, and I had it up to not. Well, I had it up to me bottle through the lamp.
Yeah.
At work, and they cut it off, and I did it buttons in.
Mm.
I have my men's officer's ring that you bought me. It's in, as that was cut off same time, wasn't it? And, you know, I lost something there, didn't I?
So what do you think?
Going off the story, he gave me that, saying I've done a good trick. All right. I don't know what happened to him. He went somewhere and that was it. So I just went on any tricks, Matty. I never thought nothing about that ring the whole through war. I just had it on. And I've thought since, if I'd have been catch with that ring on, what would he have done to me?
Well, I would imagine that they might assume you've taken it off a German.
Ah, now then, you were fitted. You're fitted. So that German was saying, "You took my son, if they catch you, they'll take you."
But it may be that the German
were genuine
anyway. He didn't consider that at all at the time.
He might
because
not
have. He just had a very traumatic thing happen, hadn't he?
Yeah. And he said, "Shut me on and everything."
Yeah.
And I took that ring all in good faith. But since war, I've sat and thought, you were lucky. Excuse me.
May have been a lucky charm, Jim, because you got through the war, didn't you? So, That was that incident in the forest. So, yeah. So anything else happened there?
Well, after Wrightswell Forest went through to the clearing, Yeldon got through me. And did we go to Ardennes then?
No, you'd finished the Ardennes.
We've been to Ardennes.
Yeah.
Right. We were actually on the road. Did we go back to Wee? We went back to Wee, didn't we?
Well, this is... I'll tell you where the towns that you've just mentioned there are just clearing... It's called the Hochwald Layback, and it's clearing the west bank of the Rhine before crossing the Rhine.
From there, every more or less operation stopped really when we cleared Gelder and got. And we more or less sent back to Brussels, near Brussels. So we had no name of it. Not everybody, the company carried on, and there were so many sent back to rest to recuperate before we crossed the Rhine. So, as per usual, take the 15 on the way. Captain Whiteside wants it. So, me and Whiteside, little did I know this. He said, right, he said, we have a good job for about a fortnight. I said, what is it? Because there's a new wife